Presenter. Strategies that health departments are using to build their internal capacity to address health inequities. And Lorena and Alex will be moving towards more of the starting to look at some of the external things that health departments could do. So Lorena Marquez Zimmer is currently working as a health equity coordinator for the Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment. And in this role, she is leading the organizational change needed to address the social determinants of health. The health equity model developed by her team is now part of the Colorado Public Health Improvement Plan and is being used to disseminate data and as part of the assessment and planning for all local public health agencies.
Good morning, everyone. So yes, my perspective is a little bit different. We started from the social determinants of health aspect of how we could address health inequities that way. I'm going to go into that in a little bit more detail. But we did start off, just like Sue Ellen and Gail and Sandy mentioned, on internal to figure out what that means for a state agency, because I think it's different from a county or local perspective to what a state agency can do. So thank you for that. I have no relationships to disclose other than to the model. I wish we had a dollar for every time it's used in Colorado. Apparently, it's used at the School of Public Health, and we're going to touch on it in a little bit. When I go to our local conferences, other people use it too. So it's great. It's something that people have landed on. I just wish I had a dollar for every time other people used it in PowerPoints. Sandy gave a great definition of health inequities, and I wanted to give a slight perspective from the social determinants of health side. This is one from CDC. Social determinants of health are life-enhancing resources such as food supply, housing, economic and social relationships, transportation, education, and healthcare, whose distribution across population effectively determines links and quality of life. So it's that distribution aspect that goes to the inequities that are present in our society. I wanted to take you through that timeline so you could see the internal aspect to where we also went from the state agencies and started to build capacity or provide resources as well to local health agencies, because that's the way that our institution and our state agency is organized as far as public health. So we have a centralized state agency with independent local health agencies. We also work with many, many partners in the public health aspect, as well as healthcare access through the health department. But so the Social Determinants of Health Work Group was formed in about 2007, 2008, actually after Tony Eitan from Alameda County came to talk to Colorado at one of the chronic disease conferences. So it's actually kind of an honor to be here amongst the rock stars of health equity, Alameda County, Bar High, all of which we look to at the very beginning of our process and our changes in how we looked at this. Then the work group, we started to say, okay, what does this mean? What does social determinants of health mean? Because, for example, the maternal child health section said, we're paid to do maternal child health. What can we do about poverty? So because it seems so big when you start to think about this. So we were lucky. We stumbled across the Bar High model that Sandy showed earlier, a model out of Australia. Queensland, Australia, also helped guide the effort, because the way I was thinking about it is I want to find the answer. I want the A plus B equals C, and this is how we solve poverty and inequality in Colorado, at least. And I didn't find that, but I found some things that helped us guide the way and have something to land on and see what it could mean for a state agency or for public health. So that is the 1.0 aspect of our work, the social determinants of health model. The model caught on, but then we said, okay, here's just a list of things. It just says poverty, social inclusion, housing quality. What does this mean? So we wanted to put some numbers to it. We were lucky to have some really good data geeks on our work group and people that were very familiar with the data. Colorado has an incredible data set, which we're going to go into. So at first we just started with an Excel spreadsheet looking at some easily available census data. And that was the 2.0. We released that The model was also then associated with a training for our division. So our division is about 200 people. the Prevention Services Division. This was not department-wide at the time. Then we also took it to the next level, what could it mean with the data, and pointed out also how just looking at this easy census data, you could see that there were inequalities in many of our counties and which ones those were popped out. So then we held more trainings to bring people up to speed to the 2.0 aspect. And then we said, okay, great, we have data, we have this model, we know what social determinants of health means, what is the next step? So we really challenged, it took a while for the work group to get here to the 3.0. In between the profiles and the resources, this model also caught on because of the data and because of public health improvement in Colorado anticipating accreditation. We had some legislation that went through to help improve local health agencies and the state agencies as far as the Public Health Improvement Act. The model was adopted by the Act because the relevance actually to the data. So we have data for all of the social determinants of health by county for Colorado to help then local health agencies prioritize within their counties so that they can, yes, they look at chronic disease rates and diabetes, et cetera, but they can also in the same health data set look at educational attainment, poverty in their county to see how they could prioritize and tailor interventions. So then the social determinants of health resources we went to were for internal. So how can we make it as easy as possible for our programs, tobacco, chronic disease, to address health equity? That's what we wanted to do. We know that this categorical funding comes down. Our program managers are really, really busy making sure everything gets implemented well based on legislation or CDC mandates. So we wanted to create some resources that they could land on to understand or just have the wording ready to implement some things, some aspects of the social determinants of health. And we'll go into the resources also. Here's the model. I just wanted to read, probably many of you have already heard the Robert Wood Johnson CEO quote about the social determinants of health, but I think it really takes you across our model here. This is by Risa Laviso-Mourney, right? Obstacles children encounter early in life can set off a negative chain of events so hard to break, such as poor education that leads to limited job options and lower income, limited access to nutrition, nutritious food, or places to exercise, all of which leads to poor health outcomes. So that pretty well takes you across the model. Like I said before, for all of those bullet points under the social determinants of health, that's the list that came from the CDC. We've tailored it a little bit because of the data that we have. So this model is tailored to the data that we are making available to all local health agencies. The health factors are the traditional public health, and then there you see population health outcomes. So we want to improve the quality of life for all Coloradans. And to us, what the social determinants of health is trying to make those health factors or what we do in public health expand the four walls of public health into the social determinants of health. And then on the bottom, the public health role in addressing the social determinants of health, that was an important piece. We wanted to make sure that those bullets were on there, and those are kind of our guide to determining which resources we were developing also within the work group. So what are resources that we can make available to program managers when they need to comment on policy or legislation? How can we bring new agencies on board? How do we create that internal environment to enable this kind of change, the data collection? We need to continue the great work that we're doing within tobacco and diabetes so that that doesn't get left off. We don't just quit tobacco work and dedicate all the work to education. And then how we can have our programs engage the community the best that we can and the communities in greatest need. So the data aspect is pretty strong, at least in our health agency, because of the foundation that we have within our agency. It really can help us point to some of the inequalities going on. And at a state agency, you're not making a decision just for a county, but how do we fund all counties based on need? How can we change our RFA processes so it's all tied together? This is the Colorado Health Indicators website. You can't read it probably up there, but this is where we have all the social determinants of health data for by county, as well as the traditional public health data. Everything from access to healthy foods to diabetes prevalence. But you can see that the model is there, and that gives a preview to all local health agencies as they start their assessment and planning phase. It gives an overview of the model and how you can use this kind of data for your public health planning as well. The work group, though, this is great. This is primarily for local health agencies, but what sort of data do we need to look at for programs within a state agency to fund across a state? So we've started to look at our capabilities for GIS. This is something probably many of you already do. But I wanted to point out a couple of slides that we have, or data maps. We developed this data map. We asked our GIS guy to put together a map that you could overlay poverty, high school graduation rates, unemployment, and single-parent households. We chose those four data points. We didn't want to overwhelm him. We know it takes some time to input the census tract level data into whatever it goes into. It takes time, but so we didn't want to ask for everything since we have a lot already on the other website. But also, these four data points were found at a national level to correlate to chronic disease, poverty being the most significant to chronic disease. So anyway, this is poverty within Colorado. Colorado is 64 states. This is about 15, 16 of them. I didn't really count them. But you can see darker means higher poverty, and lighter means less poverty. So here you can see some of the inequalities going on. Within Colorado, we have some geographic boundaries that also delineate access to care or other things going on in counties. So it's just one way to look at the data for Colorado. Many programs within our department have made this map available or have used it for their strategic planning purposes to say, okay, we know that income inequality is, or economics and poverty are related to poor health outcomes. Where do we need to fund things differently, or how do we prioritize that within our strategic planning for tobacco and for RFA processes that go out? The next one also then is about percent of population without high school degree. So here are some of the inequalities. The next one also then is about a slightly different perspective. You know, some programs might fund by school district, so this might be something more relevant to some programs versus just the income perspective for other programs. So it just depends what kind of data correlates to what you're looking at and you're looking to achieve. I'll take you back just so you could see some of the differences. This is poverty, and this is high school graduation rates. So different programs use this differently. You could also, because of the GIS aspect of this, overlay where the local health agencies may have satellite offices, where health professional shortage areas might be, where there might be clinics also. So you could get the lay of the land with this sort of technology, but also with the inequalities going on. 3.0, applying the knowledge. So we have great data in Colorado. We probably have one of the best data sets available by county from the state level. But then, yeah, taking it to the next level is the next piece. It's really hard. But what we went in there for, or the work group started looking at, was what are the aspects of our work? What do programs do? They do strategic planning. They do granting out to counties. They do some policy initiatives. A lot of program managers apply for funds from the CDC or other major funders. we respond to legislation, what could that mean about inequality? So we wanted to infuse this across all aspects of what managing a program could be. So that's kind of the guide of what we did from the workgroup perspective. So then we came up with resources, language that could be used in all of these aspects of program management. We decided also at first to look at the spheres of influence, and at a state agency it might be a little bit different than a local agency. We have influence across agencies, so we work with our Medicaid agency, we work with Human Services, we have access to Department of Corrections in other aspects of our work. We needed to look internally, that's the second bullet point. How can we influence the work we do within the Colorado Department of Public Health? And then we do have some influence and interaction with communities, whether that's local health agencies, clinics, or community partners and foundations. So here are the resources that we came up with. We had the data, that was the easy one for us, but we looked at RFA and RFP processes, so we put together sample language that we collected from other sources based on how our grants or RFAs were already set up. So everything from saying, hey, did you insert this map, or we have these maps available, to hear some language about recommending or requiring that you do culture and linguistic appropriate services when you fund down to the local health agency level. Much like what Gail talked about, we looked at our, we call it individual performance goals, so that's another aspect of program management, is managing your staff and yourself. So what are those things that we could do within our work that we could then be rated on also in a positive way? So we gave samples of what are some things that you can incorporate into your performance goals, anywhere from just saying use the model and the data to make one presentation to a community partner to let's say a high-level program manager, I will apply for health equity specific funds. So we took the whole broad spectrum, trying to think of staff at different levels as well. Advocating up the funders was one of the other resources, so we wanted to make it as easy as possible for program managers to apply to the CDC or local foundations for this kinds of funds. So here's some language, here's how you can say this is really, really important and we need to do this kind of work. So we made had some ready language, I've seen it inserted in a couple of places. A success story just the past couple of weeks, because of the work that we were doing in this division and the chronic disease plan that went to the CDC, incorporated the model and some language about equity, another team was able to get some small funds from the CDC because they'd already heard about it from the other side. So it trickles out. Sometimes we do advocate strongly, but sometimes it's just a trickle-out kind of effect. Community and grant PTA, we try to make our slides, our presentations, everything as readily available so local health agencies can use it, so our program managers can use it out in the community to talk about it too, because what we see happening, and you'll see a slide soon, is that a lot of the funding for real health equity and social determinants of health work goes to the community level. It bypasses the state agency because it is about what's going on in the community, and I respect that, but I want to make sure that that sort of funding comes to Colorado, or so we want to make everybody ready to apply for these kinds of funds. Policy is something we're looking at. We want to be able to have program managers that respond to legislation ready to answer how this could affect communities in greatest need. And then strategic planning and funding priorities kind of circles all the way around through RFA processes and looking at maps and how program managers can prioritize certain aspects of their work throughout the state. I think I gave many of these examples already. Data can be used to prioritize counties in greatest need. So we have some of our youth services programs that already give extra points to counties that have high youth violence and high poverty. So if you are in the top 10, let's say, of those counties, you automatically get points on your RFA processes when you're asking for funds. And that's something that we also incorporated into the RFA guidelines. That's the next bullet point. Individual performance goals, yes, it's part of our jobs, but how can we go above and beyond? And so trying to get program people to think about how they can just do tobacco work well, but do it well for those populations in greatest need. Advocating and educating funders is expanding that funder's notion of what the work entails. I think there is no doubt that the large funders know that funding equity work is important, but what that means is not well defined. Community Grant ETA, part of our work as a state agency is to make sure all local health agencies have this training, that they know the data that's available and the possibilities that are out there. Policy, really it depends on the environment. We're really lucky in Colorado, at least within the state agency, we have a supportive environment to where we could test the limits of the four walls of public health, which I've done. Examples such as thinking about how social policy is health policy and how we comment on that and build the public health case. We have data to support, right, that high school graduation rates affects your health and how that could relate to some, for example, education legislation in the state houses. And then strategic funding, strategic planning and funding priorities, I think I touched on that, how some programs are using the maps to prioritize. I just wanted to leave you with this. This is from the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation. It screams Colorado. This is Colorado on the cover. It probably makes more sense within our state, but these are the major highways and everything. But this, for example, was a very specific RFA to social determinants of health, but it went down to the community level, really. So how important this is for local health departments to work on it, but for state agencies also to bring resources to support county health departments is also really important. Thank you.